This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and if you'd like to join the conversation, we invite you to call 877-217-5757 statewide, and if you're in Baton Rouge, the local dial is 297-5633. The email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Our leadoff guest is John Schroeder, former state representative who surrendered his seat to run for treasurer, and he is in a runoff. We talked with him prior to the primary of October 14th. He received 24% of the votes. Over 96,000 people in the state cast their ballots for him. He is in a runoff with Democrat Derek Edwards, who received 31% of the votes, with 125,000 people voting for him in the primary. John Schroeder is considered the favorite because of all the other candidates. They were populated by Republicans in the primary. As we know, Angel Davis ran a strong campaign, as did Neil Reiser, and we are in a red state with only one statewide elected official being a Democrat in John Bell Edwards. John Schroeder, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. How's everything?
Doing well. How's your campaign going in the home stretch?
We're racing for home. There's no grass growing under my feet. We're not taking anything for granted. We've been across the whole state this week already, and really just impressing upon people. I mean, and you said it. I mean, the majority of this state voted for a Republican in a primary, and we just got to make sure that people go and vote. And just been raising awareness, and a lot of people don't know that there's a mayor's race in New Orleans when you get up north, and when you share the numbers with them, they look at you like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the media has helped. I mean, there's a lot more media, and Jim, I don't need to tell you, you've done this for a while. There's when you have a special election and you don't have all the other statewide officials running and bringing attention and bringing media and paid advertising, you don't have any of that. So when you get in the cracks and crevices of the state, people don't really know that there's a race even going on.
Well, in the governor's election of 2 years ago, only 38% of the people showed up when John Bell Edwards defeated David Vitter, and that was with all these other statewide elections on the ballot. Now we have just one. We do have some local races here in Baton Rouge. We have a judicial race. In the other parts of our state, people are selecting candidates in a few races, most notably in Orleans Parish. In Orleans Parish, Latoya Cantrell and Desiree Charbonnet are in a runoff for the race to succeed Mitch Landrieu as mayor of Orleans and New Orleans. And in that race, we're certain to have an African-American female as the mayor of New Orleans, something that Baton Rouge has with Sharon Weston Broom. And it's going to drive turnout because Tom Shedler, the Secretary of State, who's been with us, says that as many as one-third of the voters in Saturday's election could be coming from Orleans Parish. And John Schroeder, you alluded to it. What does that mean if Orleans Parish has a disproportionate turnout? I mean, a highly disproportionate turnout. Does that make this more of a horse race than people may anticipate?
Oh, it definitely makes it a horse race. We're anticipating it could be 30%+ of the vote across the whole state. If voter turnout, I think it was one being like 11% off of what it was in a primary early voting numbers. So the lower it goes, the more play Orleans Parish has across the whole state. So definitely we're estimating 30%+ of the entire vote's going to come right out of Orleans Parish.
Your opponent did appear with us a few weeks ago and noted that he did not make a lot of appearances in the primary, but he ran first as the lone Democrat, and he is in the race, and he has an impressive background, having survived a severe injury. He's a quadriplegic, as Derek Edwards, but he has 2 degrees in accounting and is a lawyer. What do you know about him, and what is the major distinction based on what you know?
Look, as I've said before, I really don't know him. I've been to numerous meetings and events, and so I've never met him. So I really can't say. I just know what people tell me, you know, that he's got a degree in this and a degree in that. That's about all I know.
Now, he also said that disagreed with talking about other things. For example, a caller asked him about Donald Trump, and he shied away from getting into national politics. I can understand that. But he also noted that the treasurer does not have the authority to weigh in, at least with a vote, on taxes. And you have done that as far as your aversion to new taxes or basically any taxes that would affect the people that you serve. What's your take on what the treasurer's role is?
Look, the treasurer is a leader in the state. Not the leader, but a leader. So I think anything dealing with the finances for the well-being of the state is on the table, just like I did in the legislature. So, yes, I don't have the votes. The difference now is I have the microphone. I have the platform to talk about all these things that plague the state. So I absolutely believe the treasurer has the responsibility to let the voters of Louisiana know when bad policy is being introduced or suggested that's going to deal with the finances of this state that ultimately are going to cost us money through our bond ratings.
Well, you served in the legislature for two terms. You came in with, I think, 61 others, along with Governor John Bel Edwards, your neighboring lawmaker in the House, for two terms. You served a little over two terms before resigning your post. What did you learn in your tenure in the Louisiana House based on the fiscal policy of the state?
Well, Jim, this is going to sound pretty simplistic, but what I learned is people don't spend others' money like it's their own. In the business world, I've learned that. I in my 10 years in the legislature, every decision I made, I did it just like it was, like the penny was coming right out of my pocket. And two, if you haven't been in business and don't understand what it feels like to invest your own personal wealth into a business, into some project, and have to go out and make it work and recapture that investment. And not only recapture your investment, but to make some money, to be able to pay those payrolls, those salaries, and all the things that go along with business. That is a unique feeling, sort of like being in the Army and being a narcotics agent. I mean, those are all things that are very unique type situations that I think will fare well with me in this position. And this is about money, and this is about treating a penny like a dollar. And if you've never had to do that, if you've just had a job, not that that's anything wrong with having a job, because that's what most people have. But it is a unique situation when you have to invest your own money to make your own paycheck. Right. And I see that to be not a problem, but you can't say it's a problem if you've never experienced that and you don't know how to do that, mm-hmm. because that's not something you've ever experienced.
With the state facing this fiscal cliff at the end of June, we're now inside 7.5 months. There's going to be a lot of movement in the legislature and from the governor's office. And, of course, in the past, the treasurer has weighed in on this. What's your take on whether tax reform is needed?
Well, I think reform in every way is needed. I think just like I do in my business world, you constantly have to be looking at ways to sort of reinvent, recreate, deliver services better, be efficient. It's an everyday thing. It's not something that you just do when, it looks like we're not going to have enough money. It ought to be something that happens every day. So, look, I think we need tax reform. I think we need budget reform. I think we need government reform, because in my opinion, it seems that we are working for government. As I said several times this week, government isn't working for, government should work for us. Us shouldn't be working for government. So, as state treasurer, I'll identify, I'll help identify how much money do we have. And then the government legislature is going to have to decide how to spend that money. To this point, Jim, we've been spending more money than we have.
I thought by law we had to have a balanced budget.
Well, you can do. You can have a balanced budget through smoke and mirrors, and that's happened. And that's what I've fought about for the last 10 years, because whether it's been a Republican governor or a Democrat governor, we have balanced the budget in somewhat through smoke and mirrors. Whether it was using one-time money on reoccurring expenses, you know, using rainy day money in the budget, and then using it on things that are going to reoccur next year. And you can't do that in your personal world. And then just come back and ask for it again next year.
We're going to return after a brief pause of 90 seconds with more from John Schroeder, candidate for treasurer. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF, heard in many corners of our state. And if you're calling outside the Baton Rouge calling area, it is 877-217-5757, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We have some emails for John Schroeder, our guest, for a little while longer, the candidate for treasurer, former state lawmaker, a man who resigned his post to run for this office. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Representative Schroeder.
Yeah, Representative Schroeder, if you become state treasurer, would you use that microphone to speak against the policy that allows big oil to exploit our resources and carve up the land with its canals, have its lobbyists wine and dine the legislators in order to get out of paying its fair share in taxes?
All right, John Schroeder, do you think big oil is a culprit in some of our state's woes?
Well, look, you asked me earlier about whether or not we needed tax reform. And I think everything ought to be on the table, whether it's big oil or big anybody. I think all our tax policy needs to be looked at. Now, I'm not a tax expert. I don't know of anybody that has all the answers to solve all the ill wills of the state. But obviously, there's two sides to every issue. It's probably the biggest lesson you learn in the legislature. There's two sides to every single issue. But I do think that we need to look at everything, Jim, whether it's and with a impartial eye and what's fair, because I know this much: we can't continue to keep taxing the middle class and the small businesses because we'll bankrupt those guys, and then where are we going to be? So I'm open to have a discussion about any issue with anybody. I want to do what's best for Louisiana.
Here's a question from Reverend Anderson saying, what are your plans as treasurer for assuring adequate short-term funding to be available to the state at reasonable rates?
Well, look, the reasonable rate comes from having your debt and your spending under control. If you don't have your debt in check and based on adequate revenue, then the cost of borrowing your money is going to go up. So when my opponent says, well, he talks about things that are irrelevant to what the treasurer does. Well, that's a good question, Jim, because I get asked that all the time. And it has everything to do with the budget and the spending and revenue. So if you don't control that, it's going to cost you more to borrow money.
877-217-5757, Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on Talk Louisiana with John Schroeder. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I've got two questions for Mr. Schroeder. First, I imagine he opposed the tax on gasoline, and I just got off the interstate, which is a complete bottleneck from the 10-12 split, for miles back up 10 towards the south, and I can't figure out how we can possibly improve our traffic situation without having raised the 17, 25 cents a gallon on gas tax. And the other one is the Advocate had recent articles, two articles on switching the elections to mail-in, And I'd like to hear his opinion on that also, Jim. I'll take my...
Right, okay, thank you, Ray. What about, first of all, mail-in elections? Would you think that would be a good idea?
You mean, does he mean that everybody would mail in?
Well, I guess you would have the option of mailing in if you...
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love going to the polls and vote. We try to make excuses on why people don't go vote. You know, people just don't take it serious. I'm not sure what that would look like or how practical that would work.
All right. What about a gas tax?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I tell people, I've been asked this before, yes or no, do I support a gas tax? And I said, well, that's not a yes or no answer. I don't like the system that how we spend money in this state. I think it's politically corrupt. And until we fix that, I'm not in favor of raising another penny of taxes. Because you can't convince me that if I vote for a gasoline tax, that it's going to be spent on anything that I want or that my district wants. It all comes down to where the governor thinks it should be spent and what's typically, politically correct for how I voted. That's mm-hmm. not how tax right. money ought to be collected and spent. I don't like this process. I don't like the system. Mm-hmm. Do we have infrastructure problems? Absolutely. I live in St. Tandy Parish. So why would I support a gas tax that St. Tandy Parish has no say-so on how it's spent, where it's spent? We got to send it to Baton Rouge and beg, borrow, and steal to get it back. Hmm. That is a broken process.
Okay, a couple of questions from listeners. Asking, back in 2008, did you vote to repeal the Stelly tax?
I did.
Okay. And another one saying, would you be in favor of rolling back some of the state expenditures, such as the inventory tax credit the state pays back to companies every year?
As I said earlier, I'm open to having a discussion about, I think everything should be on the table.
Well, this election is noted is not going to get a high turnout. 350,000 may be ambitious, and so very few of the actual citizens in the state will be determining a major statewide office holder in you, John Schroeder. Today, we're 2 years away from the next runoff election, which will be a statewide entity in which the governor and all other statewide officials will be running. If you win, do you anticipate you'll be back on the ballot in 2019 as candidate for treasurer?
Absolutely.
As an Army veteran and a businessman and a state lawmaker, what gives you the cachet to do this job well?
Well, I think right now, Jim, what in the issues in this day and age, what the state's facing and the problems that we face, I've dealt with in my own personal business. You know, I understand what it is to invest money, to make money, but I also understand what it means and what it feels like to lose money and to have to close a business and have to lay people off and to live within my means. And I'm tired of having to do that and never seeing government do that. I think it's absolutely unfair to the taxpayer to be forced to live within their means, but government doesn't do that. The stories that I've heard across this state from businesses, especially in oil and gas, and I'm in the home construction industry, which no industry in this country, in my opinion, is taking it worse than the home construction. We have had a downsize, upsize.
John Schroeder is with us, and if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757, and locally it's 297-5633. Another listener asks about the statewide election affecting your old House District 77. There is a runoff Saturday as well for that seat between Rob Maness and Mark Wright. And this listener, actually in the Hammond area, Scott in Hammond, asks about who you're supporting among those two candidates to succeed you in the Louisiana House. Do you have a preference?
Not really. I mean, that's not my place. I think they're having a pretty good spirited run.
I would say so.
I know them both. Know them both very well. Well, I know Mark a lot better than I know Colonel Manis. Mark's, and I've been friends a long time, mm-hmm. so I've known him for a long time.
What did you think of the Colonel's outburst on another radio show a few nights ago? He hosts the program. He kind of went out there.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Look, whether you like Trump, hate Trump, love him or whatever, I just think our leaders should watch their language. That's my opinion. You know, I hold myself to a standard when it comes to my language, because as a leader and people are listening to what I say, I want to be a role model for the young people. I want to be respective to people.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we'll return and spend some more time with John Schroeder on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana and for listening to WRKF 89.3. Coming next will be Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, but we're spending a bit more time with John Schroeder, candidate for treasurer. The election is 2 days away, and hopefully we'll be wrong about turnout and that more people will show up and vote than anticipated. 877-217-5757. Still time to get in under the wire with John Schroeder, former state representative. Melanie on Essen. Hi, Melanie. You're on with Representative Schroeder. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Engster, Mr. Schroeder. Thank you so much for taking my call. At the top of the program, Mr. Schroeder mentioned that he didn't know what what his opponent had a degree in, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the young man has a law degree as well as an accounting degree, and I was just wondering why Mr. Schroeder feels like he's a better qualified candidate for the position, and I'll hang up and listen to his answer. Thank you.
All right. I don't know that you said he was unqualified. You just said you didn't know much about him. But your thoughts about the man does have two accounting degrees and is a lawyer. It would seem that based on that he would have some credibility on the matters that he would be embracing as treasurer if he were elected.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
I've never questioned his qualifications. I talk about mine. I think the question was, did I know him and what did I think? And I've never met him.
Okay.
And I've never had a discussion with him.
Here's another inquiry from a listener. This one, Andy, saying the treasurer is responsible for managing the state's cash flow. What is your plan if the Republicans shut down the federal government to ensure Louisiana can make its commitments? That from Andy. Your thoughts, Representative Schroeder?
Well, you mean if the federal government shuts down?
Yes. That's what Andy is asking.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, if the federal government shuts down, everybody's shutting down. So the federal government doles out a lot of money. Almost half our budget comes from the federal government now. So we'll have some serious problems.
Well, this fiscal cliff, if there's not some consensus on how to address it, either through cuts or taxes or a combination, then some state offices could shut down. Can we really afford that?
Well, you know, Jim, we spend $30 billion as a state. It's got to be, I don't know the exact ranking, it's got to be one of the highest in the country.
But $9.4 billion of that is the actual general fund, and much of that is protected. So in many cases, the governor, and we've had several governors note this from both parties, saying that their hands are tied in many cases.
Yeah, actually, Jim, it's not nines in the general fund, but there's another almost $17 total.
Well, yeah, but that's federal money. That's federal money, though.
No, sir. No, sir. The total budget is almost $30 billion. State money is about $17 billion. $9 billion of it is state general fund. The rest of it is fees and self-generated that the agencies run on. So there's a lot of money that they're raising and spending. There's five departments that don't get a single penny of state general fund. So there's multiple problems. Yes, the dedications and the lack of the ability to move money around is a major problem. I've long had that discussion. And I look, if I was a governor, if I was the CEO of any company, you want the flexibility that in a downturn you can do what you need to do to move money around. And the governor doesn't have that flexibility.
Would you be in favor of a constitutional convention?
Yes.
Why haven't we gone that route?
Well, because we've tried to go another route, and that hasn't worked. So you can fix this without going to a constitutional convention. But I've been there for 10 years, and we haven't done it. So, I used to say, no, wasn't in favor of the constitutional convention. Now I am, because after being in the legislature for 10 years, we didn't fix it. And I say we because we're all part of the process. It didn't get fixed, didn't get addressed. So I have no problem going to a constitutional convention. I want it fixed.
Now, you're a graduate of one of the universities, Southeastern Louisiana University in Hammond, that was hit hard by budget cuts. What about what's happened on our college campuses as a result of the budget over the last decade?
Well, the result of what we just talked about causes that. You know, there's very little flexibility in our budget. It's amazing our colleges have done what they've done, even under the circumstances. Our graduation rates are up. Our time to graduation is better. So it's amazing that everything's improved in higher ed as far as outcomes, even under these circumstances.
Now, who do you blame, or do you blame anybody? Was it just one of those things, or did policies initiated by maybe the previous administration affect this in some way?
Well, look, I'm not a blame guy. I'm a sort of take charge and charge the hill kind of guy. Look, we've been in a struggling economy for a while now, and what causes our problem is the sort of built-in growth of government. If government could do what you and I do when we don't have success financially, we just learn how to spend less. Well, government doesn't do that. They grow every year. So this year we grew 3.3%. Well, next year that means that 3.3 is built in already, and it's going to grow more. And quite simply, the economy isn't growing at the rate that government's growing. And we've got to stop that because it's unaffordable and it causes all these issues.
All right. 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with John Schroeder, candidate for treasurer, who's been generous with his time this morning, 2 days before the election. And you can still email at talk@talklouisiana.org. Hear from RA saying, the bond commission passes judgment on construction projects for roads, public buildings, and other infrastructure that requires the state to borrow money from Wall Street. It not only manages the state's public debt, but also the debt of local governments. Localities must come before the bond commission to have their projects approved. How do you, John Schroeder, reconcile your relationship with the construction industry with this responsibility?
Well, we could talk about this for 30 minutes by itself. And that's a major, major part of the job. And I'm very interested in getting in there, should I win, and see how we can better work that. Look, I don't like the capital outlay process. I don't like how we select projects. And I'm not talking about locals. I'm talking about state projects. I don't think we prioritize them well enough. I think we're spending money on taxpayers' money on projects across the state that aren't priorities to the state, that they're more of priorities for locals or local legislators. So those are all things that I'm going to look at really hard. I've been on that since I've been in the legislature. I probably voted against the capital outlay bill 4 or 5 times in the 10 years I was there. Needs a lot of work. I think we have to make sure that the locals, that the municipalities and the parishes have the ability to bond money out and take the politics out. They shouldn't be punished because the legislator doesn't vote properly or this, that, and the other. So that's something I'm going to look very hard at.
Mm-hmm. As far as the flexibility the treasurer has in making investments, have you been able to discern whether you could do something differently or better than the previous treasurer?
No, Jim, I've been focused on my campaign, you know, and we'll get into those things if I should be fortunate enough to win. But I will tell you this. I know Senator Kennedy pretty well, and as I have no reason to believe that that I shouldn't be able to just pick up from right where he left off, where Ron Henson's going to leave off in March on. I've not heard or seen anything that gives me any concern.
Now, you will have to assemble a staff. Have you given some thought about doing that?
Again, I'm focused on my campaign. I have not given that much thought, other than if it's not broken, it doesn't need to be fixed.
Well, what can you say that might spur turnout? The experts are usually right about these sorts of things, and unfortunately, the guy who's the chief bean counter as far as votes, Tom Shedler, says 350,000 may be the best we can hope for. What can you say to get people to vote either there, whether they're for you or for Derek Edwards, or not going to vote in this race at all? What can they do to show that they're good citizens?
Well, that's the only thing they could do, it be to show that they're all good citizens. You know, people, you know, this is happening for several reasons. One, we talked earlier about a special election. Two, people discussed with government in general, which, Jim, is one of the major reasons I'm running. You know, my background, you know, my military background, my law enforcement background, my business background, my legislative background. I'm very much a dot of I, cross a T kind of guy. Have I made mistakes? I think everybody has. I think the only person who hasn't made any mistake died about 2,000 years ago. But transparency and accountability is going to be the number one issue. We have to gain the trust of people so they do want to go out and vote and feel like they're participating. They're losing that. So, look, all I do is tell people to take if you want to do something great for a veteran and show the respect to a veteran, then show up and vote. Because our veterans, to include me, have defended our flag to give us the right to vote.
All right.
Quickly,
another question from a listener asking, how long have you been a Republican?
My whole life.
So you were never,
I've been registered.
Never other than a Republican?
No, I'm 56. I'm sure my parents were Democrats. I think most of my parents were. But I've been a Republican my whole life.
Yeah, and I guess the first election and for president you were eligible to vote for would have been Reagan and Carter. I have a feeling I know who you voted for.
Yeah. Well, I was in the Army at that time, too. I went to college, and then when I went in the Army, President Reagan was our president.
Well, John Schroeder, this is an important election, and in 56 of the 64 parishes, it's the only measure on the ballot. So hopefully people within earshot will take note and vote Saturday, either for you or against you, but vote. Voting is important nonetheless, and we thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Take care, and we're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased that you're listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF, and your number is 877-217-5757. Our guest for this segment is Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, who's been covering this election for treasurer, and noted in a recent column, which appears every Sunday in The Advocate, that Secretary of State Tom Shedler seems downright depressed about the November 18th runoff when only 1 of 10 voters, 1 of 10, are expected to participate in deciding who handles the state's money. Mark, I don't imagine the turnout's going to get beyond 15%, but it is notable that 15% is considered to be a heroic accomplishment.
Indeed it is, but I doubt it's going to get that high. They're very hopeful about it. But the early voting, which is kind of an indicator, about 20% of the votes are cast during the early voting time, is down from what it was in the October primary. So I'm always hopeful, but you know, there's a realistic streak in me that tells me that it's going to be fairly low.
And when we talk about the October 14th primary, fewer than 14% of the voters of the state showed up for that one. So if the early voting is lower than it was for the primary, that's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. I think that we've seen this in the strategies that they were being used by the candidates themselves. I mean, that they have been focusing on wedge issues. Mr. Schroeder himself, you know, talking about the, you know, he's going to rein in the tax and spend, and talking about the budget and talking about Donald Trump and talking about hunting and all of that sort of thing. And these are issues that are designed primarily or almost specifically to engage those people that the chronic voters is what they're called, you know, the perennially go 90% of the time for just about every ballot. And that's what they're aiming at, is to try to get them to go out and vote for their particular candidate.
Well, the New Orleans mayor's race is going to be the marquee item on the ballot. And without that, let's face it, we wouldn't even have 10% of the electorate showing up Saturday. How much will that affect the treasurer's race? And is there some wild scenario where Derek Edwards could pull off one of the most cataclysmic upsets in Louisiana political history?
Well, there is the scenario. I mean, you can mathematically put pencil to paper and kind of come up with that, but it would require a considerable higher turnout in New Orleans. I mean, even though it's a mayor's race, I mean, they were only batting around 30% of the of turnout. It would need to be 45% or so to in New Orleans, while at the same time you would have to be single digits for the rest of the state. And the state treasurer's race is on all 64 parish ballots. And so if he gets above 45% and the voters that went for the Republicans in Orleans Parish voted for Derek Edwards, and you had a very low single-digit turnout statewide, then there is a possibility that he would win mathematically. But I haven't seen that kind of excitement in the Orleans Parish mayor's race. I don't see them getting that high.
A listener notes that Schroeder's old House district will spur some turnout that could be favorable to him, and Rob Manus kind of excited the masses this week. The colonel, who's on the ballot against Mark Wright in a runoff, he kind of lost it on his own radio show. Imagine that, Mark Bowen.
Yeah. Yeah, you should always have caution. Usually politicians have caution sitting on their shoulder. Try not to say that, but he seemed to have lost it or became angry at being called an extremist. And part of that, I think, is that race has become a lot closer. Back at the very beginning, you know, very few people knew who the candidates were, but they had heard of Manus because he had run twice for the U.S. Senate. They heard of Mark Wright, or some of them did, because he's a city councilman in Covington. And so it was, you know, kind of up in the air. But now, if at least the reasonable polls are showing that it's a fairly tight race. That said, as far as it impacts on the state treasurer's race, is that I don't think any of those voters, whether they back Manus or Wright, would have voted for anyone but Schroeder to begin with, and you're only talking to a couple of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 voters. So, I mean, in the end, that may be what, if we have this mathematical probability, it may be helpful for him, but with that few voters, I'm not sure how impactful that's going to be on the overall statewide thing.
Okay. Another listener asked what the projected turnout is in Orleans Parish.
Well, again, they had about 30% in October, and the projections are that it's going to get more, 32, 33, 34%. But that's just, you know, I wonder about the, you know, the political professionals, if they're being kind of optimistic about that or not. I mean, they are electing what will be the first woman mayor in 300-year history. So that is kind of got a historical thing, but there's just not been much excitement down there for the mayoral election. So I would say that we're probably ending up with about 30%.
Now, 26 years ago, on this date, November 16th, 1991, 80% of the state's voters showed up when Edwin Washington Edwards defeated David Ernest Duke. Is that what it takes to get a high turnout election, Mark Bauer?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly that was one of our high turnout elections, and it had a lot of interest factors. But think back during that time, or prior to the, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, that this state was turning out 70% normally, usually. I mean, we had a lot of more elections, but people would vote more often. And we've just seen this, it's nationwide, you know, but we've seen it particularly in Louisiana because of the stark contrast to the way it was in the 70s and the 80s, and having to do with a frustration of and a partisanship, a frustration with the partisan rancor that we're seeing, and people just saying, my vote doesn't mean anything, I'm not going to spend that time.
All right. A listener notes in our previous conversation with John Schroeder that former Representative Schroeder, indicated that $17 billion of the $30 billion the state is spending this year comes from state resources. Is that an accurate number based on what you know, Mark?
I think it depends on how he defines that. The number that is generally used by the fiscal people is around $9 to $10 billion, and they define that as taxes collected, corporate and personal, and all the other various sales taxes and that sort of thing, and royalties and fees and a couple of other things. So the $17 billion, I mean, it might be, but I would ask him what goes into that formula that comes up to the $17 billion. The one that they usually use is for the state general fund, and that's about $9 to $10 billion.
All right. You've written a few columns of late in Political Horizons about this abysmal turnout that we're anticipating, and another listener asked John Schroeder about mail ballots and ways to spur turnout. We've got a very high voter registration number in our state, extremely high as far as the number of our citizens who are actually registered. What are some of the ways that could be used to spur turnout?
Well, I'd be a millionaire if I could come up with that answer, and it's certainly something that that all across the country that the elections officials are looking at carefully. So forget those, but I know that Tom Shedler, the Secretary of State, is looking specifically at trying to consolidate some of these elections and having the interims, the folks that are appointed interim to cover until the next election, serve a little bit longer. His thinking is that in this particular race, as a good example, is that if it was run during a congressional year, which is an even-numbered year, that there would be more of a turnout, you know, that the congressional races would be would bring in another group of electorate that are not the 90% that vote on 90% of the elections. That's something that we'll be looking at in the next upcoming legislative session.
I noted earlier, Mark, that 2 years from today will be the runoff for governor, if there is one, and other statewide runoffs. And I would imagine the 19 election, which will start picking up as far as candidates in probably 6 to 8 months, it's going to be a fascinating development to see what happens.
I think we're going to need to be watching that carefully. And I would argue that it's already started. They're all kind of jockeying for position, even though they're saying, oh, no, we're not. I think the key element that we need to look at is what does John Kennedy do, and when will he make his decision? Because if he decides to, I think that he's the one that they're all looking at right now, and he's freezing the field for the most part. And then I guess it would be what happens in the 2018 congressional races? Because I believe that if by some oddity, and I don't think this is going to happen, that the Democrats take control of the U.S. House, that Scalise may be, Steve Scalise, the majority whip from Jefferson, may be willing to take a look at coming home. And
we do have to roll. But thank you, Mark. And Political Horizons is where you can read Mark's work, Sunday in The Advocate. For Ali Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.